Shall we begin with a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, on this All Saints Day, open up our hearts and our minds that we might see you as the Lord of life. In your name, amen. "Hey, buddy," said the passenger in a taxi cab as he tapped the driver on the shoulder. The driver screamed. He lost control of the cab. He almost hit a bus. He went over a curb and stopped just inches from a storefront in this glass plate window. A few minutes went by and there was nothing but dead silence. And finally the driver said, "Man, you scared the living daylights out of me." "I'm sorry," said the passenger. I didn't realize that a tap on the shoulder would scare you so badly." "Oh, it isn't your fault," the driver said. "Today is the first day I've driven a cab. But for the past 25 years, I've driven a hearse." When someone is dead, you expect them to be dead. Unless you're Lazarus. Or unless your expectations are those of Mary and Martha, his sisters. On this All Saints Sunday, we are given this wonderful account of Jesus healing Lazarus or restoring Lazarus that captures for you and me the roller coaster that comes with death and the hope that we have in the resurrection. Now that's always my prayer. When I gather with the family at a time of death, as I pray during worship, I pray that somehow and in some way this family grieving the loss of a loved one would find some hope, some comfort that Jesus gives us in the promise of resurrection. That in their death, there's a gateway to new life. Now, death in all forms is difficult. And we know that. All of us have experienced death in one way or another. And the circumstances that we have faced death are different in each situation. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter the relationship that you've had with that person. It doesn't matter how the individual died. Death is the most difficult thing that you and I will experience in life. A woman receives a phone call, the kind that we all dread. Her sister in the next state and her husband and their three children were just killed in an automobile accident. The woman is in shock, and for the longest time, she just stands there in the kitchen, and she doesn't know what to do. Soon, there's a knock on the door, and it was her friend's husband that lives next door, a man that she barely knew. He told her that he had heard about the news, and he was so sorry for their loss. And he asked if they would gather up all the shoes in the family so that he might come and polish them. He added that that's one thing family often forgets at a time like this. Well, he gathered the dress shoes from all the family members, and he picked a spot in the kitchen floor, and he just went about polishing the shoes, saying nothing. The woman was still in shock. She didn't know what to do next. But as she watched her neighbor so focused on this one act, it came to her mind. "Pack the children's clothes first, then my husband, and then myself." When she came down from upstairs, the man had gone. And on the kitchen floor were five pairs of beautifully polished shoes. An act of kindness in a time of death. Charlotte and Joe were two people in love, even in their golden years. When Joe's cancer came back, Charlotte and the entire church, we prayed that God might heal him for a second time. But Joe's illness progressed, and soon death was imminent. And Charlotte, she pulled me aside and she said, "I don't understand why God isn't healing Joe." She quoted the scripture that Jesus said that if two or more people are praying for something in God's name, then God will answer the prayer. She said, "So many people are praying for Joe. Why hadn't God answered our prayer?" When Joe passed, Charlotte's friends took me aside and said that they were really worried about her. She might lose her faith because she put so much trust in God to heal Joe, and well, the Lord let her down. Several weeks later, as I went to visit her, she greeted me at the door with a smile and a sense of joy that, well, quite frankly, took me by surprise. She invited me to come inside and sit down because she had a wonderful, marvelous revelation that morning. She talked again about how confused she was that God never healed Joe. Well, this morning, she said, in her time of devotion, it hit her. God had answered her prayer. God did indeed heal Joe, just as they prayed for. She went on that in the resurrection, Joe was given new life. He's passed through that gate of death into new life, and he has been healed. God has taken away all of his illness, restored him to full and a wonderful, healthy life. Now, Charlotte would still miss Joe, and she would grieve his loss. And one day, the two of them were reunited, joining together in that newly healed and wonderful life. Mary and Martha said word to their good friend Jesus that their brother Lazarus was near death. And Mary and Martha, they believed in their heart that Jesus could heal Lazarus just as he had done so many times elsewhere. Now, in the beginning of John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, we read in verse 6 and 7 that upon hearing the news of Lazarus' death, it says, quote, Jesus stayed where he was. After 2 days, he said to his disciple, let's return to Judea again. Now, I've always found that odd. With this imminent news, why did he take so long to return? Well, we find out that in verse 21, Martha comes out to meet Jesus. And in that verse, she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Well, the Greek wording that's used here shows more of a sense that Martha is irritated at Jesus. She wasn't just reporting to him what happened. Well, frankly, she was ticked off that Jesus wasn't there for them. Yet Jesus says in verse 35 that he began to weep. He was filled with emotion. You see, Lazarus was his close friend, and Lazarus died, and the human side of Jesus came out. He wept. He shared that grief and that loss of a loved one. So Jesus knows exactly what you and I go through. However, this moment had a purpose. In verse 4, Jesus says that when he heard about Lazarus' sickness, Jesus said, this illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So 4 days later, Jesus arrives at the tomb. And he commands that stone be rolled away like the stone was rolled from his tomb on that Easter morning. There's protests from the crowd. There would be too great of a stench, and it was unfair to put Mary and Martha again through his death and burial. But they followed his command. In verses 40 and following, Jesus replied, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here so they might know that you sent me. Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. His feet and his hands and his body were bound still with the burial cloth. And Jesus said to them, untie him and let him go. And Lazarus was restored to life. Jesus said, I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so they might believe that you sent me. That's why we can gather together on this All Saints Sunday. We gather with so much hope and assurance. Jesus, the Son of God, he has power over death because he restored his friend Lazarus to life. And if Jesus can do that, how much more power does He have through His death and resurrection to give us that new life? Death could not hold Jesus, and death through Christ can't hold us. So on this day, as we remember those loved ones, we remember that death is not the end. It isn't the end for them, nor is it for you and me. In Jesus' name, amen.